everyone, and welcome to the Glitch Techs Rewatch Podcast. I am your host, Angela Ensminger, and I am very excited, just super stoked to be presenting Episode 7 Collection Quest with all of you. Now, this episode's intro is going to be a little bit different than some of our other intros. We had some technical difficulties at the start of this episode. We got everything cleared up, we recorded the episode, it was wonderful. And then after everyone said their goodbyes and we ended our Zoom call, I realized I'd forgotten to record the introductions for the wonderful cast and crew. So I'm doing the introductions now, and then we're going to cut over to the actual episode itself, and you'll get to hear everyone's melodic voices, and you'll recognize them from the episode as well as from past podcasts, because with me on this episode were Josh Sussman, the voice of Bergie, Stephanie Shea, the voice of Miko's mom, Rachel Resikov, the voice of Nika, Miko's sister, and also one of the animatic editors for Glitch Techs, and Katie Shaughnessy, one of the production coordinators, and she also has a story by credit on this episode. And you'll have a chance towards the end of the episode to hear more about their stories for how they got involved in the show, what it was like playing their characters, and what their jobs entailed. This was a really fun episode. I just loved everyone's energy, and this is also just a really fun episode just in general. I love everything about this. I love the sibling dynamic. It's great. So without further ado, I'm going to cut over to our timer mark that we have when we watch the episode. So enjoy, everyone. So, okay, everybody at home. So we are in Netflix on the 000 mark. So on the count of three, go ahead and press play and you can watch along with us. So one, two, three. We have the lovely Netflix logo.
It's beautiful. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I really do like the beep, boop, 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 boop sound effects.
I love the Nickelodeon arcade. Like, it's so cool. When I saw that for the first time, I was like, wow.
Ugh. Backgrounds are so pretty.
Oh my gosh, I remember those bike racks like that.
Yeah. I know, it reminds me of like Stranger Things when the kids would like put their bikes in.
Yep, and people already in line and poor Five is just trying to get to work.
We had over 100 incidentals for Glitch Techs.
Oh my goodness.
We had like, I think we had at least like 105, maybe 110. We had a lot.
Did you guys name Zara after Zara?
That's a good question.
You know, I can't remember how we got to Zara. Her name used to be something else, and then it became Zara.
Well, the actress's name is Zara.
Yeah, we'll have to ask her. She'll be on a future episode, so we can say, did they name this after you? Did they meet you and just go, aha, our character?
Well, I know I was named after one of Dan Milano's longtime friends and collaborators, Chris Bergosh, who went by Bergie, and they went back to NYU together, and Chris contributed to the Greg the Bunny and Warren the Ape shows. And that's where awesome. I met Dan on Warren the Ape, which is, if you haven't seen it and you like the mind of Dan Milano, check out Warren the Ape. It's such a funny show.
And Greg the Bunny.
And Greg the Bunny, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I also know he did a couple of things on Robot Chicken. So yes. Dan's just all over television.
Yeah. I remember Seth Green like came over a few times to the studio and I was like, oh my God, it's Seth Green. Like, and I was like, oh yeah, Robot Chicken.
Yeah, and he was a regular on Greg the Bunny, on the Fox Greg the Bunny. Seth Green was a main character with Sarah Silverman and Eugene Levy.
It's a great cast.
And I just love his enthusiasm. Just everything just excites Five at all times.
Yeah, all his special poses in this episode are insane. That head exploding one, I was like, oh my gosh.
There he goes. Yeah, that is the good thing about working for certain companies. It's like, hey, free t-shirts, free hats, free things. Go for it.
Yeah, I love swag. I'm always here for free swag.
Mm-hmm. And pizza. It seems like there's always pizza around every corner.
Yeah.
suddenly I want pizza. I'm in the mood for pizza now. Making me hungry.
Next time.
There you are.
Yeah.
That's who it is.
So we have similar hair, and I have a space between my teeth, and so does Bergie. And people have asked me, is that intentional? I don't know. Does anyone know?
I think they did actually model this character after you. It's like Nyx. They totally, I think, modeled Nyx after Greg.
Yeah, well, he looks just like him.
Yeah. There are actually some of the incidentals in this show are actually like modeled after people at the studio. I don't know exactly who specifically, but there are for sure some incidentals that are like, you know, people that people knew.
That's how it should be. And I know a couple of the board artists too are in some of the later episodes. They're like, here we are in the background watching the games.
There's one scene in like the dancing episode where it's Phil, Jules, Sarah, and Sung. And it's like a split second, but it's like all of them.
Yep, but I love this. It's like, you don't have to listen to Mitch. Yeah, Mitch has no idea what he's talking about. He's trying to be a lone wolf. You just have to, you know, work together with your friends.
That hammer was like one of the first props we ever designed for this show, I think. I think we used it from like our animation test.
Quest.
I love all the video game, like, little meters and stuff like that.
Yep. And here is Miko's mom, Anika.
Yay!
That's crazy.
It's also smart because she knows. She knows her children. And so she's like, no, you're going to do this for real.
That is a very mom thing to do, though.
Yeah, so I have to ask you, Stephanie, did your mom ever do anything like that to you? Because you said that you modeled the character after your own mom.
My mom did not do anything like that to me because I don't think selfies were not a thing back then. But she definitely had like her interesting ways of parenting, you know. Like, I remember we were in a Target and she gave my brother and I a pair of like jelly shoes that were tied together by a piece of thread.
Oh geez.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Then told us that we had to untie the knots, but I you know, and it was like teach us patience, but I think it was to get us to stop bugging her.
This will occupy them for at least 45 minutes.
Exactly, as we were like in the checkout line and stuff like that. So,
when I first left for college, my mom made me call her every single night for my first like month or two in college, my freshman year. And finally, after like 2 months of that, I was like, "Mom, I cannot call you every single night. Like, no, I love you, but
yeah,
I call her like once a week or so."
Yeah, and I just want to point out Nolan's arc, because I remember talking about that with you, Katie, and you had mentioned that was after Nolan North.
I believe it is Nolan North. I think so. There's a lot of those kind of like Easter eggs in the show where there's like things named after like people in video games. Nolan North is the voice of Nathan Drake in the Uncharted series, as well as I think some other games.
Is Nolan in this?
I don't believe.
Yes, he's not in this episode, but Nolan North
is in it, right?
He is in 107, but it's, the one where Five and Mitch, where Five takes over for Mitch. He is the leader of that team. I'll think of it. Give me a sec.
Well, this is totally Ghostbusters, which is so cool. And I love how just all the homages to like classic movies and it was fun recording this. Ah, that snake was scary. I just got scared watching that. But it was fun. I'm recording this with Ricardo, who's the voice of Five. Like a lot of times in animated shows, you don't always record with the other actors. And it was really fun that we always got to record together for this. And I think that really helped just the friendship.
Right
and,
there.
I think they're really good about that on this show. When it was an episode that specifically focused on characters, like there was like a relationship between two specific characters, that Dan would always try and get those actors in the booth together to get that more like authentic, real like feel.
The only person I've never recorded with Monica, who's because I've never seen her, because she would record, I guess, at night or she had a different schedule.
Yeah.
So I never got, I didn't get to meet her till one of like the screenings. So it's kind of, it's fun how it works out sometimes.
She looks like Mabel from Gravity Falls.
Yeah, someone said that last time. So I can't remember who said that.
Yeah, she just has that look. She's just so cute with her little sweater.
I think it's more like the sweater looks like Mabel's sweater, more, less, not so much the girl, but the sweater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then her bright idea. I love this gag.
Oh, this is one of my favorite gags.
Mom's like, no!
I love that gag. Sabrina! This is totally, though, like my sister being embarrassed by me when we were kids, like, not wanted nothing to do with me.
It was so funny because Monica wasn't, she recorded at different times than I did. So Dan read Miko with me. So it was just me and Dan going back and forth. Yeah. And it was so funny. He was so good.
Yeah. I actually used to get to scratch Miko a lot, which basically scratch, like, I don't know if people know, but scratch is when it's like hold audio, like until they get the actor to do the recording. And so whenever we didn't have the audio in time for animatics, I sometimes just got to go like do Miko's voice, which was super fun.
It's always amazing when you hear scratch or of yourself. And sometimes like Dan would do it for me or other people and you would hear it and you wonder, wait, is that me? Or is like,
yeah.
Dan does an incredible impression of me. Like, you know, when you're not sure if it's your voice or not, that.
Yeah, he would always scratch five. And sometimes I'd be like, oh, is that Dan or
Ricardo? Yeah.
It is like a thing. Like I was talking to some production person and they were like, they like it actually better if the scratch audio is crappy. Like it's bad audio quality just in case so that no one makes that mistake. You know, like if they leave it, they accidentally leave the scratch audio in because they think it's the final recording. If someone sounds close to
I'm always convinced some scratch does sneak into stuff, but like, I don't know.
That's some great behind the scenes we just learned right here.
Yeah.
Also, I did find out Nolan North was Tank and Argyle in Alpha Leader.
Ooh,
the Alpha Leader episode of Glitch Techs. Oh, yeah. So in the animatic stages, this girl, I think, had my last name. I was kind of bummed when they cut it out. I was like, oh, her last name is Shaughnessy.
Oh. But now she's just the girl that swallowed
a fly. Yeah, now she's just like some girl.
I feel bad for Nika. To be named Frog Tongue.
Yeah.
Frog Tongue Shaughnessy.
Yeah, no one, I think that's a funnier joke though, like that no one knows her name because they just call her Frog Tongue.
Mm-hmm. They should make these t-shirts. Like, I don't know if the show has merch, but there'd be so much great stuff. And I think they make pops of everything. They should make Glitch Tech pops.
I would love Glitch Tech pops.
I know. The bummer is, like, I mean, with, like, COVID and stuff, like, expos getting canceled, because I was, like, I'm hoping when, like, expos happen again that people really, like, cosplay this stuff.
That'd be cool. Oh, this is one of my favorite. I love this gag. And how just oblivious that Berkey is here.
We actually, our production team did some of the first cosplay for Glitch Techs. We actually made Hinobi shirts 1 year for Halloween, and we wore them.
Oh, you were ahead of your time. People probably know.
Like, you guys had a whole skit.
I cosplayed as the girl from Mamma Miyamoto as well for our like premiere party, I think, or when we did that screening.
Yeah.
Katie, okay, so this episode came out this year in 2020, but when did you begin the story? How long has the show been in development?
Glitch Techs has been going on in development as far back as 2015. So I actually started on Glitch Tech summer of 2016, but I remember like I was so stoked when I first started on the show and they were very open about letting anybody kind of like search through the folders. And I, as an aspiring writer, would always like look through the writing folders and find like concept and development stuff. And I think that they pitched it back in 2015 to Nickelodeon. So it'd been in development for a while, for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, so for everyone listening, animation takes so long. I think I started recording for the first time in 2016 maybe even 2015, I don't know, but it's such a long process and it takes an incredibly amount of time. I mean, look at all this gorgeous animation and it takes so long. But then
I totally remember that when I recorded my first episode, that Ready Player One was about to come out in movie theaters, and I was like, oh, it's such like such relevant timing, you know? Little did I know that the episodes would not be released until way later.
Yeah, yeah, there are so many similarities, like the things you could do with your XP and like buying, where there it's a DeLorean, but here it's like getting shoes, and it's just, yeah, it's really cool, that future world of
I know that, being able to. Yeah, the biggest thing at the time when we were developing Glitch Techs was like Stranger Things, so I know there was like some Stranger Things influence on this show, you know?
I just wonder what Nika's going to do when she goes home and tries to tell everyone, this is what I did today. And they're like, what are you talking about? What did you see?
Yeah, we had a great team of artists on Glitch Techs. Everyone worked so hard to make this show look so beautiful. And Scott Kakuta, our art director, like, he really made this style. And yeah, it just all looks so great.
I hope people cosplay. That would be so cool to see that. That would be just so surreal. But yeah, I wonder when conventions can happen again. And I know there's at-home conventions, but that's not the same. Oh, it's the same where I know. Yeah, the celebrities, I guess you could, they're the meet and greets. But no, but to walk the floor cosplaying and seeing the merch, I mean, that can't be replicated.
Yeah. I have seen like a couple like posts of like people doing their own fan cosplay of the characters, and it's awesome to see people doing that.
And just the fan art, like if you like search hashtags Glitch Techs, there's so much like fan art of so many talented, creative people and the things they come up with.
Yeah.
See, I like this. Sometimes sisters get along. They have a good time.
I know, it's funny because like, as a kid, I feel like my sisters and I used to fight all the time. And now as an adult, I'm literally like, my sisters are my best friends. Like, but yeah.
Things get
better. My mom told me this story. My mom's the youngest of six, okay? And then she told me that her sisters used to always ditch her. They would like all like, they would kind of like go play something, and then one sister would hang behind to play with her. And then when she's distracted, she would just disappear. Yeah. And they would all just disappear all the time. And my mom, my sisters always ditched me. And I wasn't really sure. And then I asked my aunt one day, I was like, hey, did you guys try to ditch my mom when you guys were kids? And she was like, oh yeah, all the time.
Oh my gosh.
She was like, she was the baby. She was so annoying. And so
like not even denying it. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, this is absolutely true.
Yeah, and also like, there's just, it's just funny how like sometimes you remember things like frozen in time. You know, I remember talking to another aunt and I was talking about like my mom cooking dinner or Thanksgiving dinner or something like that. And she laughed and she was like, your mom doesn't know how to cook.
Oh, wow.
But it's like,
like, it's not a nice thing to say.
No, yeah. But also these aunts, like they don't live in California. They like live in Michigan, so they literally haven't seen my mom, like they don't interact with my mother on the, in that way for like for good like, you know, four decades, you know what I mean? Like, so they don't know if she can cook or not because they've never been over for dinner. They're just remembering her when she was like a child.
A kid. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, she doesn't know how to cook.
That's when she made macaroni and they're like, that's all you remember.
We grow up.
Yes.
Oh, these effects are so cool. I love it.
Yeah. And I love the sound. I just love the sound of her narwhal voice.
Yeah.
That's just so weird.
I wish I got to watch this as a kid. Like,
I know.
And through those eyes.
Tetris! So
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when I was like, you know, working on the show, just being like, I wish there was a show like this for like me when I was a kid, especially characters like Miko. Like, I'm someone who has ADHD, and I'm fairly certain Miko has ADHD. And like, I was a huge gamer, and I think, you know, I kind of got made fun of because like, you know, people were like, oh, like, you know, games are for nerds. And I was like, I love that this show just celebrates all of those things so much.
And I love there's like every genre in this, you know, there's like so much comedy and so many heartfelt moments. And then there's like little horror bits, and it's just the best. I love it.
Yeah. I wish there was like a game or an app, like the Glitch Techs game, where people could. I feel like that would be so fun for like the fans to be able to play like a game version of this. Yeah. If there was the Glitch Techs video game,
I, I would also just love to play some of the games in this show. Like some of the episodes, there'll be like games that I'm like, I want to play this. Like,
I love how cute this is. You know,
I know.
They're screaming and running and tearing. It's like,
yeah. They're like the real life view versus like the little chibi, like it's so cute. And then you're like, oh no, it's actually really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cute till you're the one that has blocks falling from the sky.
Yeah. I'm
gonna crush you.
You never look at Tetris the same ever again. Girl's got an arm.
I know. Oh yeah, fun fact, like, so now my sister and I, like, whenever we play video games and we solve like a puzzle or we figure something out, we literally always like look at each other and go, gamer logic.
Aww.
So we totally use that in real life now.
Cute, cute, cute.
Uh-oh.
He saved me.
Ugh,
the animation is just so incredible.
See, that's true friendship. Giving up XP for your friend.
Buddies. That evil laugh was great.
And I love that Bergie, he's not just a nerdy character. He gets to be a cool character and do heroic things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's good at his job, and I love that.
Yeah, that's definitely, like, the biggest thing I think I was, like I pitched with for Bergie was, like, hey, man, glitch techs, they're good at things. They're good at games. So Bergie's a glitch tech. He's good at games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that everybody's just multifaceted too. I mean, no one on the show is one thing, and they're not a stereotype of a thing. There's a lot of different characteristics for every character, you know.
Totally.
They feel like fully realized people.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, the effects. Our effects designer Tony Unser did like every effect for the show, and he did such a good job. He also did the effects on Star versus Forces of Evil.
I was on that show.
Oh, yeah. So you've worked with Tony twice.
I didn't even know. But what? Yes.
I kind of wonder if Mitch just practices trying to look cool at every available moment, just when no one's looking.
I would imagine.
I think
sure.
So. That makes sense to me.
It's just the kind of guy that whenever he sees his reflection, he just like always is checking himself out.
Yeah. And I love this. I love that Bergie and Five and Miko, like, that they're not afraid of him. They're like, no, we will get in your face because we know that you're being ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's always something new. It's like with phones. I have an iPhone 11, but now they have the iPhone 12.
I still have an iPhone 7. I'm like, until this thing dies, I don't need a new phone.
Yeah, I'm
waiting for the iPhone 20 when they can just send you out to space.
Mm.
Every like three generations, I'll update.
Yeah. I'm waiting for like the iPhone. Like they just seen like that episode of Futurama where it's like the iPhone and they stick it in their eye.
I feel like that's a Black Mirror episode waiting to happen.
I know. I'm pretty sure that incidental in the middle with the hair is supposed to be potentially based on Phil Jacobson. I can't remember if that's true or not.
When Phil comes on, I will ask him. I'm like, which one of these people are you?
I could be wrong, but...
Aww.
Or I think maybe someone just said it looked like him.
See? Friendship.
Friendship.
When I love these like graphics, like are the S... But you gotta... 8-bit sound.
Oh no. I was trying to hit watch credits.
I did too. And all of a sudden it did credits. But you at home, you can continue to watch the credits because they're awesome.
Yeah, Netflix needs to work on that. Like sometimes the shows have such great credits and they just want to skip them. That's not fair. And sometimes they only give you like 5 seconds to make the choice and it's not even easy to press the right thing. It's so easy to switch off and it's like, no, I wanted to see that. And same with like intro, skip intro. Yeah. Sometimes there's such great intros. No, I want to hear that music. I want to. Oh, Netflix.
Yeah, sacrilege. It's like, no, you got to sit for the entire experience.
But they're doing so much right. So I'm not Netflix. I'm not trying to come down on your heart. You're an excellent company.
As someone who works for Netflix, I'm going to take this directly to the top.
Katie's going to go right to them and be like, yeah, no. I heard from a very reliable source. I'm like, no. Oh, man.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming on and talking about the show and just all the different things about it, you know, from voice acting to the art to your experiences too. It's always, that's the fun part, like really hearing about like what you guys are thinking when you're working on it and on other projects as well. So
yeah. I want to tell you, this was my first Netflix watch party.
Really? That's awesome.
Well, they say you always remember your first time.
The only reason we know that is because of the setup. But the audience wouldn't know that. But now you are set up to watch many, many more.
Yes.
I actually think it's a pretty cool thing. The funny thing is, like, watching these episodes back is that I never realized working on the show, like, I feel like my natural speaking voice is pretty close to Monica's. So sometimes when I hear it back watching the show, I'm like, oh, especially her efforts and her grunts and stuff like that. I was like, oh, wait, no, that's not me. You know, I'm the mom, but it makes sense. Like if she's my daughter, you know, that there's like a similarity of sound.
See, perfect casting right there. So yeah. And I was wondering too, like if you guys have a moment, like how did you first find out about the show? Was it, because I know like Rachel, like you worked on the show, and then Josh, you had known, you know, Dan for a while. Like what was your experience like getting hired on?
Yes, yeah, so I've known, so I had so much fun working with Dan 10 years earlier on War and the Ape, and it was so fun that we knew we wanted to work together, and he knew he wanted to work with me again. And so when the show started, and when it was a pilot, he brought me in and auditioned for, I guess, several of the characters, and then they just wrote Bergie for me, and it was like, yes, I get to work with Dan again. This is fun. And now it's on the air. Now it's on Netflix. So it's just exciting.
Yes. Yes. The company that we all love, Katie. Make sure you tell them that we're all fans.
I'll report it to the boss. To the all boss. Right.
Yeah. And Stephanie and Rachel, how about you?
I feel like for me, it's like more of a straightforward, you know, I auditioned and then I came in and we worked on it. I think the nice thing about this show is that it was really kind of a very collaborative process. You know, Dan wanted a lot of input. And I think Dan was also really concerned too, that like you had this mom that's pretty strict and pretty demanding. And then I think they were worried how unlikable or likable is she? And it was interesting because like when the show was released, I listened to a podcast and they did this whole section about on the mom. And, you know, there were certain people's opinion that like maybe it was a low key form of abuse in a way,
oh, no.
Like the amount of pressure. So I do think that's in some circles, like she's kind of a controversial character. But I also think that in a way, it's kind of an accurate representation because like, you know, in terms of like, I said, you know, I modeled her after my mom and Dan asked a lot about my mom and, you know, this idea of the tiger mom is out there. You know, I don't really think of my mom as a tiger mom and I love my mom and there's never been any doubt in my mind that how much my mother loves me, but did she have very high expectations? Yes, she was very demanding. And sometimes when I tell these quirky stories about my mother, my friends will be like, oh my God, how horrible. You know, but I never viewed it that way or understood it that way because I always knew where she was coming from and what the motivation was, you know, be behind it. But it might be a little bit odd or extra, you know, like her parenting. So kind of like, yeah, asking your daughters to take a selfie every however many minutes, like seems a little extra and odd. But in a way, it's kind of also like a innovative, creative way to, you know, keep an eye on the kids and then also shows that they really know who they are. And I think my mother was always very like blunt with me, which is why people thought she was being, you know, like mean. I remember like at a very young age, she, because I did not care for appearances at all growing up. And she said at one point as a teenager, she came up to me and she said, "Oh, so what's his name?" And I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "Well, you have a crush on a boy, right?" And I did, but I had never even told her anything about that. And I was like, "Wait, how did you know?" And she said, "Oh, I could tell because you're putting more effort into your appearances now. So it must be because you like somebody, you know?" And then she followed up by saying, "You know, I'm glad that you're putting more effort into your appearance. However, you should be doing these things for yourself and not for just some boy." And she goes, "And besides, if you were only doing it for some boy, let's say you get the boy, he becomes your boyfriend, you get married or whatever, and then you get lazy because you were only doing it to get the boy. Well, he's just going to leave you for some younger woman." And I'm like,
oh my God.
They're like, well, you're taking this like the farthest conclusion.
I was like harsh. 14 years old or something like that. But it was like, I mean, she's not. There's truth in that, but still it was a little bit like, very practical in a way. I don't know. Overly practical.
Oh man, that's great. She's trying to help. She's trying to help out. She's like, "I'm gonna impart my wisdom and we'll see how stuff goes." That's awesome. Rachel, how about you? How did you because you mentioned that, you know, you were the animatic editor. So how did you go from animatic editing to getting to voice a character on the show?
It was actually like backwards. So when working on it in development, I was a production coordinator in development and I was working on the pilot with them. And I got to hang out with like Eric and Dan every day and they were working on the animatic and the editor recommended I do Scratch for the Gauntlet voice. So I came in and I did it. It was really fun, you know, and then later on they had me do Scratch in the recording studio, which was so much fun. I couldn't believe it. And then like, it was kind of, like they were talking to network about it and I had no idea. And then they showed me Nika and asked me to do a voice for her, just like what I thought would happen. And I ended up getting cast, which was amazing and crazy. And then a couple of years later, I was animatic editing and I tried out to be an animatic editor on the show and I got to be on the show too. So it was really fun. I got to do like 3 jobs on the show.
That is really cool. Yeah. So I feel like it's just show people what you can do. And if they say, "Hey, you want to try this?" Yes. The answer is yes. Go ahead and try. See what happens.
Scratch is for sure the best way to get like voice, because that's like, I actually am doing a voice on one of the shows I just worked on. And it was because I was scratching and they were like, "Oh, we like this. So we're going to make you the actual voice." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." And so it's a very common way to get roles. Like my dad too, like he was Sir Didymus in Labyrinth and he did the Scratch for it. And I don't remember how it came about that he ended up doing the Scratch, but he knew a guy and that guy helped him. And then they were gonna cast someone else. And then I think Jim Henson like heard it and was like, "Oh no, yeah, let's just keep this guy." And then they ended up casting my dad as Sir Didymus. But like, it's all like, yeah, doing Scratch is like a really good way to get started in voice acting if you're like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's That's quite awesome. A few animators too who like, I think people who aren't in the industry, like sometimes they think of like the animation side or the animator side as just like people who just draw and stuff. But when they do that, they really embody the character and understand the character, not just from a physical aspect. So lots of times when they do the Scratch, they have a very real holistic view of the character and they are good at like bringing that character to life. I mean, like one of the like most kind of prolific and like household name voice actors right now is Eric Bauza. And he started out as an animator, you know, which I don't think he's great anymore. Now he just does voiceover.
Now he's Bugs Bunny. He's Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Oh, is he? Oh, wow. Yeah, I think if you're just like working in the industry, like, I mean, I was a production coordinator and I just kind of, it's a lot of just like asking, like being like, "Hey, like, if you need some Scratch done, like, let me know." And then, you know, just kind of, you know, you kind of gotta, sometimes they'll just be like, "Oh, we need Scratch." But if that opportunity ever arises where it's like, "Oh, like, we're gonna need Scratch voices," like, you know, kind of put yourself out there and be like, "Hey, like, I like doing Scratch," and, you know, see what comes of it. Sometimes you get cast as roles, you know?
You miss 100% of the shots you never take. That's what Nike said.
True. Can we say that? Is that copyrighted?
I gave them credit. I gave them credit.
You gave them attribution. We're keeping that in. That's awesome. All right, you guys.
Good message.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are your upcoming projects? If you guys have anything that you want to plug, anything you want to talk about so that people at home can continue to follow all the cool projects that you guys are working on.
I'm doing a recurring role on a TV show right now, but because of non-disclosure agreements, I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it, but it's with people who I grew up watching, so that's exciting. But follow me on Instagram at Mr. Josh Sussman, because as soon as there's trailers out and I could talk about it, I will. So, and I'm on TikTok at Mr. Josh Sussman. I'm having so much fun. So yeah, I'll post up about all my new upcoming jobs and shows there. And it's a live action one. So not only will you hear me, you get to see me too. And I can't wait to tell you about it.
Sounds good. We're looking forward to that. Thanks, Josh.
I'm like trying to think of like what I'm allowed to say. I'm on a show that I've been recording for a year, but I don't think I'm allowed to say, even though that show has aired in other countries and like it's on the internet that I'm doing it. I'm not allowed to confirm that I am, even though there's screenshots of the credits.
You cannot confirm or deny that you're in
exactly.
The show.
It's so weird. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've been really working. You know what I should do? I should check my Google Calendar. And then I could be like, oh, can I talk about that? Can I talk about that?
Sounds good. Well, where can people find you online? Thing.
I'm on Twitter and it's just my name at Stephanie Shea. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it the number 2 and my last name Shea. Shea is spelled S-H-E-H, but it's a pun. Get it?
Touche.
Yeah.
Yes. Josh got it.
I love it. Not only do I get it, I love it.
All of my cousins have Shea nicknames. They're all Shea puns. I like mine the best.
Like, but the cream of the crop of the puns is my own. Thank you. Very good.
So I finished working on a show called Battle Kitty at Netflix. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this either, but that is the show where I got to do a voice. And then I am currently working on another Netflix show called My Dad, the Bounty Hunter. Very excited. It's with, being done by Everett Downing and Patrick Harpin. Everett Downing, who did Hair Love, and Patrick Harpin, who did movies like Hotel Transylvania and Moonrise Kingdom. So very, very excited. And Matt Lazell did Battle Kitty. All awesome people. Yeah, and you can find me on Instagram. I'm always kind of embarrassed by my handle and I need to figure out how to change it. It's Katie Shag Nasty. My last name is Shaughnessy. Sorry. and my Twitter is, I think it's like Lady Katie Shags. I do a lot of names with my last name that are very silly.
It's it's a pun.
Cool, but yeah, those are my handles.
Yeah, say those handles with pride, Katie. It's like, yeah, they're mine.
Yeah,
own claim them. Yeah. Own your comedy. It's good. It's all good things. Rachel, anything cool coming up for you? And where can people find you online?
I'm currently one of the animatic editors and the assistant picture editor on Centaur World. It's a Netflix show and it'll be out, you know, someday. And gosh, online, I started a Twitter, r_Russikoff. I'm not very active yet. Twitter's kind of confusing to me. And my Instagram is unicorns and vomit. So you can find me.
Amazing.
There.
10 out of 10.
Oh, thanks.
Such a good handle.
Thanks.
That's awesome. Well, again, thank you all for taking the time out on this wonderful evening. I know that you have your choice of quarantine activities, and I thank you for spending some time with me and with all the people out there recording today's episode. And it's also nice getting to talk to everybody from the show and seeing how people have been, because I know, like, for me and Katie, we used to have lunch all the time, and now we're in our homes, so it's just nice to see people again. So
Thanks again. Virtual lunches.
This is correct. Yeah, but seriously, this has been a lot of fun. And I'm so glad that you guys wanted to do this. And I know that a couple of you will be on other episodes. So looking forward to talking to all of you again. And yeah, you guys, but just thanks again. This has been really good.
Nice meeting all of you.
Yeah. This is so fun.
Yeah, nice to meet all of you. And hopefully I'll get to see you guys or work with you guys on a show again one day in the future when we are no longer all stuck in our homes.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Angela. This was so much fun.
Yeah,
you're a great host.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, and thank you guys for all your patience with everything and for coming on and talking about it. It really is a great show, and I know people are going to like this a lot. So thanks for your time. Enjoy your Postmates dinner, if that's what you're doing.
I know. I'm literally about to go Postmate some dim sum right now.
All right. You guys take it easy.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Contained.